Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Here's the Savage Nation. Thank you for listening. Donald Trump will be on this program sometime in the next 2 hours. Yes, I guarantee it, because I pre-interviewed Donald just before the show, and we are getting it ready for the program as we speak. We have some news stories from the interview. You know, what I love about the media is how, well, we know they distort everything. We know they're all progs. We all know they hate the country that gave them their fortunes and the life itself that they enjoy. You look at the government media complex. You look at Anderson Cooper. You look at Wolf Blitzer, the liars. They're paid to lie. Leon DiCaprio, the king of Hollywood, flies around in his private jet with all the hookers, goes to his yacht, has a good time, and then talks only about the environment. Al Gore, there's forest fires in California. Al Gore, the lying, stinking thief that he is, the son of the coal man, Senator Gore, blames global warming for the fires in California, and yet they arrested a serial arsonist. Not a result of global warming, but it doesn't stop these hypocrites and liars from peddling the big lie over and over again. America no good. America no good. Christianity racist. White man oppressive. They go on and on with it. Well, the fact of the matter is, we're down to the wire, aren't we? And the wire is simple. Either you want to live in America or you want to live in an America that no longer exists. Oh, the borders will be here tentatively or putatively, rather, in books, in history books. Yes, there used to be a border with the corrupt state of Mexico, the narco-terrorist state of Mexico, used to be separate from America. Yes, we used to keep out the bloodbath from America. Yes, we kept diseases out with very, very seriously important immigration policies. But that all ended with the con man from Chicago. You look at the con man from Chicago. Where does he come from that he gets away with this? Did you know that he's passing the power of the internet over to Europe in 2 months? Did you know that this thing in the White House did this overnight? It's unconstitutional, but that hasn't stopped him from doing it. Everything he can do to burn everything to the ground to eliminate our sovereignty and our freedoms, he is trying to do before he leaves office. So when I say to you, Obama is practicing a scorched earth policy, which he is doing, this is not rhetoric. This is reality. Do you understand that? Now, on the show today, when you hear the Trump interview, and I hope you tell your friends to listen. If they don't listen, they should listen to the show in the next couple of hours. Trump makes news. You know, what's interesting is every time he's on this show, he makes news. He makes policy statements. He's clear as a bell with policy. And the liars in the media say, oh, he's not specific. He doesn't make policy. How can we trust him with this? How can we trust him with that? It's all rhetoric. They don't listen to anything. They listen to each other. You will hear him talk about Russia and what he has to say about Russia. You will hear Trump talk about what he thinks about NAFTA. He will talk with you about running America like a business with a heart. All of these are very important policy statements. And he is going to win. At least he can win. He's within 1 point of Hillary, who, as you know, is a complete fake and fraud, propped up by the media, propped up by the government, propped up by Hollywood. She is a total straw horse for the New World Order. And believe me, you don't want to live in the New World Order. If you did, you wouldn't be listening to this show. You'd be living somewhere else. But you love America. At least you love what you can steal from America and what you can take from America. And yet you hate the country that you love so much. How does that work? 855-407-282. I am a little tired. I was up half the night with Teddy. I know many of you are on the how is he? Not good, not good, not good. So what can I say to you? You know, it's the way of all flesh. I'm not saying he's dying, but you know, things get old. People get old. Dogs get old. Cats get old. Alligators get old. Birds get old. Birds fall out of the sky. Fish float to the top of the bay. It's the way of all flesh, my friends. And that's the way it is. And we watch our pets age, get sick, and then they die. And that's so that we know we get old, we get sick, and we die. That we're not immortal. The only people who think they're immortal are the drug addicts in politics. The only people who think that they're immortal are the psychotics in Congress who make believe that they are immortal, even though they're 80 with infirmities. They rob the Treasury blind. They have grandchildren and act as though the grandchildren will inherit the world when they are giving them dross, not gold, to inherit. They're the only ones who think they're immortal. They live in another world. So anyway, the long and short of it is, let me talk about the dog before doing the Trump thing. I'm sorry I have to focus on my dog because I'm getting so many, you know, people emailing like, how's Daddy? He is the RCA dog of yesteryear, the little dog that was always looking up at the big thing. Of the megaphone, the phone, whatever it is, the old gramophone. Well, he lays under the table. He's been with me for 12 years. He's been down there all the time. Liz, smarter than most liberals I ever met. If this dog could take a test, he'd have 5 PhDs in political science. He'd be a great voter because he knows the issues. So anyway, it started yesterday with him being spooked. I told you that he was staring at the ceiling. And he wouldn't stop staring at the ceiling. We had heard a bang in the house. There was nothing there. And he wouldn't stop staring at the ceiling. He growled if I touched him. So I tell you the truth. I took him to dinner. I met a new advertiser. Great guy. Flew up from L.A. to meet me. Had a wonderful dinner. Teddy didn't behave like he normally does, but he ate a little bit. Came home. Then I tried to move him. Oh, right. During the show, he had to go to the vet. Remember? Irene came and got him, the dog handler. The dog whisperer took him to the vet, and the vet did nothing to dummy. Nothing. I paid for nothing. I said, get an x-ray. Nothing. The dummy touched him a few times and charged probably $300. I said, well, so what'd you take him there for? So the long and short of it is, after dinner, I came home with him. I tried to move him, and he growled at me, really heavy duty. I mean, blood-curdling growls, which is not like him. So she was so sweet. She came back at midnight, got the dog, took him to the emergency room. They took the x-ray. Again, what did they find? He has something wrong with his neck. Apparently, I don't know. He got old. Who knows what it is. Probably a slip disc. And he's on pain meds, and he's not here. He's on some anti-inflammatories. So it's kind of sad when you see the guy. I mean, he'll be back, I'm sure. But, you know, the handwriting is on the wall. What are you going to do? When Snowy went, it was the same thing. And what the horrible thing was, when I lost my last dog, Snowy, the border collie, she was with me for 13 years. Can you believe that? When the kids were still young and in the house, and you see her lassie jumping over the fences, and then as she gets old, she could hardly walk, and this and that. Well, when she died, it was only a few months later that my mother died. And I thought, in the years since, I think that God sends our pets to us in many ways as messengers. And that's basically what it comes down to. But look, I want to stay positive. I'm a little tired, to be honest with you. I'm more tired. I'm not really depressed. I'm not anguished. I'm not a crybaby. I'm a regular human being. Yeah, a little emotion involved here. But the thing is, I'm just exhausted from it all. You know, when I miss a half night's sleep, and I got to get up, and I got to do, not only, if you only knew what I have to do. It wasn't Joe. You said, oh, yeah, radio is only 3 hours a day. That's easy. That's really easy to do 3 hours of radio. Well, then there was the dinner meeting last night. Then there was the telephone calls this morning about security at the Radio Hall of Fame. Then there was the interview with Donald Trump. Now there's a three-hour radio show, which I love, the best part of my day. And then to top it off, after the show, an hour later, it's another conference call with 16 people about the launch of Scorched Earth. So, you know, what is the alternative for me? The alternative is being a regular old white guy getting ready to die with nothing to do. The guy with the golf bags in his garage. The guy who sits and smokes a cigar doesn't know what to do with him. So, I mean, I don't want to be that guy. So the thing is God's given me a lot, and I appreciate it. So let's focus on Donald Trump for a minute. According to the L.A. Times, which, as you well know, is a super conservative newspaper, he's within 1 point of Hillary Clinton. 1 point. The liar on CNN, Wolf the Blinker, says it's like a 17-point difference. Well, you know where they're coming from. So, the fact is he's within striking distance of her, and I don't think she's going to hold up. Where every report we read of people who are close to her, get near her, this woman's falling apart at the seams. She cannot hold herself up. She is propped up on pillows. Take a look at the heat street. She's giving an interview to some TV slut, and she's being propped up by pillows because she can't even sit up straight. Did you hear this? Hillary Clinton doesn't like reporters, so she did an interview last week on a podcast hosted by her own presidential campaign. Can you believe this? and how to prop her up with pillows. She can't sit straight. They had to prop her up on pillows. And the fact is there's something very wrong with this picture. Trump, when I said to him today, well, you'll hear it for yourself. I said, where do you get your stamina from? He said, my parents. I said, are you sure it's not the meatloaf? He's not on the diet. He's not on the vegan diet. Let me put it to you that way. No, meatloaf and potatoes work really well for him and a lot of other people. So the fact of the matter is, we're down to the wire, as I said. And what I want to tell you is, from the bottom of my heart, the misguided, deceitful, and often hateful policies that brought us to this point in American history are explained in scorched earth. And the players in this horror show are Barack Hussein Obama, Eric, the police hater Holder, Loretta, the liar Lynch, and now Hillary, the ill Clinton, are all exposed as the fear-mongering opportunists that they are, filled with contempt for success and tradition, pandering to the manufactured cry of diversity in order to divide and erode this once great nation. And what is their goal? Their goal is to consolidate power forever in their corrupt oligarchy. But I give you solutions in scorched earth, but we better act swiftly if we are to survive. There is a glimmer of hope. It's not a bright one, but there is a glimmer of hope. We the people, we the patriots, we the American people have been fighting back. And that fight is seen in the unprecedented rise of Donald Trump, who has been the spearhead of this rebellion. And whatever the outcome of this election, we have told the entrenched, illiberal, progressive establishment that we don't like the direction this country is headed in. We can and we will fight them as hard as the enemy can ever fight anyone to preserve our union. But those of you who are regular listeners to my radio program, The Savage Nation, know that this cause, the fight on the barricades, did not begin with Donald Trump. It began with me, Michael Savage. I'm not being immodest. It's a fact. For 22 years, my message has been borders, language, and culture. My last 3 to 4 nonfiction books, if you look at the titles, were my solutions for saving America. Many of their bullet points or talking points have been and are being used by the Trump campaign to the credit of Donald Trump and, of course, to the benefit of the United States of America. I'm not going to take credit for not for getting out the vote. I certainly wouldn't take credit for all of that fervor, but I am the architect of Trump's messaging. You see, Donald Trump first appeared on my radio program in 2011. And during his many, many appearances on this radio show over the years, and also on his campaign positions page, he has reiterated several of my long-term signature themes, including U.S.-China trade reform, Veterans Administration reforms, tax reform, Second Amendment rights, immigration reform as priorities. I'll read more from my book, Scorched Earth, which I implore you to buy for a neighbor, a friend, or a relative who is sitting on the fence and doesn't know what is at stake. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to comment on the issue of Trump versus Clinton or anything, please don't call about Teddy. There's nothing more I can add to you. But I do. Oh, wait, I have to play something for you. There's a soundbite of this weirdo, Kane. Kane, the Kane Mutiny Court Martial. Kane came out of nowhere. No one knows why she picked him, except I do. This guy gave a speech that you must hear. I picked it up on InfoWars, Alex Jones's channel, where he says that whites must become a minority to atone for racism. You have to listen to this, and I want to ask you something. Would you, as a white person, vote for a woman with this man a heartbeat away from the nuclear codes? Listen to clip 10.
And so I've made my spiritual home in a neighborhood where we're not segregated. In fact, we were, when we started there, one of a few white families in that church. It's now a very well-integrated church, but it was important to, especially I think the burden is on those of us who are in a majority, you know, Caucasians here. We got to put ourselves in situations where we're in the minority.
Now watch out for grown men with squeaky voices. They're a stage voice. It's a throne voice. There are a few people in radio who use the stage voice in order to inveigle you into thinking that they're nice guys. This guy is a vampire. He is a vampire who hates his own race. He is a vampire who wants to enslave you by turning you into a minority in your own country. Is that who you want in the White House? I don't.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-C... All right, I know you're all waiting to hear the Donald Trump interview, and I would wait, too, so you'll wait a little longer. But the fact is, what's going on right now is very funny with the show. All the guys are getting are calls about Teddy. Faith healing, prayer, special recipes, remedies. Put three chicken feathers in his nostrils. Do three backflips when the moon is full. Drink ammonia. I mean, it's crazy. Leave me alone already. You know, I feel like this is a summer school class, and I'm the teacher, and you're all restless. And because I dared divulge a little of my private life with my dog for 3 minutes before the lesson about the election, you're already restless in the back of the class. I feel the erasers are flying at the blackboard. I hear it already. I see the every time I turn my back to the classroom, I hear erasers hitting the blackboard. You're like a group of juvies right now. Nobody wants to stay on focus. They're exhausted from it all. So here are some other headlines that I pulled that I was going to talk about already. Serial arsonist behind California wildfires caught as Al Gore blames global warming. I mentioned that. Murdoch goes all in against Trump as New York Post columnist Andrea Pizer throws in towel. So she attacked him. So she was told what to do by her boss. And that's the end of that story. Apparently she was given the message. It's either Murdoch's way or the highway. So that's over. Ted Cruz's $30,000 private flight to the Caymans provided by his investor pal. Really? Huh. I thought he was as pure as the driven snow. Senator Ted Cruz took $45,000 worth of private flights paid for by others during his presidential campaign. Ah, what's the big deal? America to hand off internet in under 2 months. What's the big deal? Nothing. There's no big deal. There's no big deal to anything. However, Donald Trump will be with us on the Savage Nation, so be here. It is the Savage Nation. So the Never Trump websites are seeing a huge decline in influence and traffic in 2016. The excellent Jim Hoft of Gateway Pundit did an analysis, and the Never Trump people are in free fall. And the group of anti-Trump Republicans that we know of, we know who the names are, I'll read them to you, have gone from being principled anti-Trump conservatives to pro-Hillary shills in only a matter of months. And so he looked at their traffic numbers, and he said it's no wonder that they're so bitter and angry. And so here is a look at the Never Trump websites and their traffic numbers this year, and numbers don't seem to lie. National Review, led by Jonah Goldberg, whoever he is, and Rich Lowry, he used to be a great writer. Global rank is 4263, down 460. Weekly Standard, well, that's a joke, led by Bill Kristol. Global rank 16,910, down 6,400. The Blaze, led by Cornflake Beck. Global rank down 479. Breitbart News, led by Steve Bannon and Larry Solov. Global rank went up by 221. The Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft. Global rank went up 2,411 points. Wow. And, of course, the Drudge Report has seen unbelievably high record numbers this year. And so his conclusion is the same as mine. It's that being bitter, angry, and sore losers who openly shill for Hillary or still talk about Ted Cruz is not paying for any of them. It's better to be honest and positive. And so let's keep up the good work for Donald Trump, who, by the way, joins us in just a few minutes here on the Savage Nation. I'm going to play part one of the interview. And again, before you listen to this, pay careful attention to the news that he makes. He does not speak in generalities, as Wolf the Blinker will say afterwards. He gives specific statements to specific questions by yours truly, Michael Savage. I'll be right. No, I'm not going to. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to this part of the interview. And I want you to get online as fast as you can at 855-407-282 with your comments about how Trump did and how I did. So let's hear Donald Trump on the Savage Nation. Mr. Trump?
Yes?
How are you? I'm your old friend. Remember me, Michael Savage?
Absolutely, Michael. How is Michael?
I have not gone anywhere. I've been in your corner even when I couldn't reach you. I'm so glad that you're surging in the polls. Donald, first question, what are your internal polls showing? The L.A. Times says it's only a one-point differential. Wolf Blitzer, the liar, says it's 17. What are your internal polls saying?
Well, they're doing very well. It looks like it's a very close race from the internal polls. And Zogby came out yesterday saying we're two behind. And I think we're doing very well, Michael. It looks like we're doing very well. Our speech last night got a lot of good reviews, very good reviews.
Excellent. I loved your speech the other day about foreign policy. I loved your idea of an ideology test, an extreme vetting process. I love stopping the nation building. This is what I think the people want to, I mean, they're thirsting for this kind of leadership. Mr. Trump, Obama is leaving a scorched earth policy in his wake. How do you intend to save the U.S. military in particular? He is devastating it, and I know you're a strong military supporter.
The military is totally depleted. We've got old planes. We have old jet fighters. We have old equipment. It's a totally depleted military, and at a time when we need a very strong military, and we have no choice. That's not like we have a choice, Michael. We have no choice. We have to build up our military. This is a perilous time. We're going to build up our military. But you're right. He's leaving us a depleted military.
Will you work with Russia to defeat ISIS instead of antagonizing Putin, as Obama seems to be doing?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, Putin doesn't want ISIS any more than we do. He has a tremendous hatred for ISIS. And the answer is absolutely yes. And people that think that's not a good thing are very foolish people. Russia
absolutely
wants him out. We want him out. And I'd absolutely work with Russia toward that.
It makes no sense to me. They're our natural ally against the most horrible scourge on the planet. And instead, we have an administration, including Hillary, calling him Hitler. Hillary called him Hitler, antagonizing him, provoking a Cold War. Now, last night, Mr. Trump, you gave a great speech to African Americans. How would you help poor black people in this nation? What would you do?
Well, first, let me finish. Or worse than a Cold War, because, you know, Putin is no baby, and you look at what's going on in Russia, they're spending a fortune on their military, including nuclear and including missiles all over the place, and, you know, we're not. And, you know, Hillary is, she's got the wrong attitude. We can use Russia to help us knock out ISIS, and they want it knocked out. So I just wanted to finish that up. But Russia can be a tremendous help to us in knocking out ISIS and save us a lot by helping us. And that can happen with the proper leadership. As far as your second question, we need spirit. We don't have spirit. We don't have any spirit whatsoever. We need law and order. We have to have it. And that was my speech last night. We need law and order. And you know what else we need? We need a thing called jobs, because our jobs are all leaving this country. We're going to Mexico. You wouldn't believe what's happening in Mexico, Michael. Nobody has ever seen anything like what's going on there.
Oh, they have a booming economy. I know that. They've stolen all of our factories and our jobs as well. So, you know, it's my next question. You're a great businessman. I said it on the show the other day, Donald. I know you can't listen anymore because you're running for the presidency, but the fact of the matter is, I said, wait a minute. His number one strength is he's a great businessman. He's America's premier businessman. And he said in the beginning he was going to run the country sort of like a business and bring back jobs. This is the strongest calling card that you have, in my opinion. Hillary has never run anything. And I would like to know, how do you plan on running the economy as a business? What would happen to our income tax system, for example?
Well, it's a business with heart, though, Michael, because it is different than running a business in one sense.
Right.
It's a business
right
with heart. You have to take
right
care of a lot of people that can't take care of themselves. You have to help people.
Right.
And I always say that. It is really a business, and it's certainly a big part of it. But you also have to have really great heart. We're doing a massive tax cut for businesses. We're getting rid of a lot of regulations. We're doing a tremendous tax cut for the middle class, which is, I call it the forgotten class.
Mm.
Say the forgotten man and woman, and it's true. But we're doing massive tax cuts. But you have no idea. Regulation for small business is absolutely killing it, stopping it from opening anywhere else. The regulation is out of control. We're doing a tremendous cutting of regulations, which are totally unnecessary. and we're going to make it, we're just going to bring it back. But, you know, the tax cut, we're the highest taxed nation in the world. We're bringing it from 35% down to 15%, and jobs are going to flow into this country, and companies won't leave.
That's the thing, is the average person doesn't understand that when a company pays less taxes, they will spend the money by expanding their business, building factories, creating jobs. The left wing assumes that by cutting taxes, somehow they're losing money. They're actually going to gain money because they don't understand business.
Savage.
All right, my friends, that was the first part of today's visit by Donald Trump to you, the Savage Nation audience. He is still loyal to this audience. He still needs this audience. And so I will open the microphone up now to you, the caller, to comment upon Donald Trump's visit. He actually said some important things. He said more than a Cold War. Remember I said Obama and Hillary have started a new Cold War with Putin? And he said more than a Cold War. They're building up their military, he said. That's news, by the way. If there was a journalist in the audience, they heard news. But they won't report that because it would make Hillary look like what she is. So if you want to comment on the interview in any way about me, about Donald, 855-472-8255-400-SAVAGE, please do not call about my dog, Teddy. I will not take any calls on that. I'll update you as the day goes on. If there's anything to update, I think he's just hanging out and doing his thing, and we'll see what happens in a couple of days. Let's go to Tony on WVNN Radio in Alabama, Line 1. Tony, what's your comment?
Thanks, Dr. Savage. I just feel like the polls and the media, they're telling us they're bad for Mr. Trump because they want us to feel bad, take the energy from us, and I think they're misleading.
Well, we know that their bias is pretty obvious. I mean, would you think Wolf Blitzer's a journalist?
No, sir, I would not.
And that's you think Jake Tapper is a journalist? Do you think Brian, whatever, is none of them are journalists? They're commentators like I am. The difference between me and them is I'm smarter than them. And I tell you I'm a commentator with a bias. They pretend that they're a thing called a journalist, which rarely, it's very rare, by the way. There are journalists in the world and some real good ones, but they're not it. So I agree with you on that. But even the L.A. Times is reporting a one-point difference between Trump and Hillary. How did that happen? Remember the other day Trump was finished? Now even the L.A. Times does a poll. And L.A. Times says it's a one-point difference. He's within striking distance. And I think that the closer we get to Labor Day and after Labor Day, when most Americans basically come back from vacation and basically start to thinking about the election, that's when they really pay attention. It's traditionally true. Maybe it's a little different now. Maybe we're in such a hyper situation right now after Obama's destruction of this country and his war on police, his war on the military, his war on the middle class, his war on virtually every institution in America that's worth talking about. Maybe more people than ever are paying attention to politics. But I'd like to know what you think about Trump's campaign, whether you think his strategy is working, what he should do to save the campaign, and whether he can beat Hillary. Let's go to WJR in Detroit. John, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I'd just like to know how Trump is going to fix the trade agreements. Right now, in order to sell anything in China, we have to produce it in China. But China can keep importing stuff here. How do you expect him to fix that?
That's a great point, and people don't know how twisted the entire trade situation is. As you may know, I've called for tariffs on Chinese-made goods for years. Mike, do you know about that or not?
Pray to God that you can work with Trump.
No, but you're aware that I've called for tariffing Chinese goods. And the false neocons in the media are saying that's a bad idea, we should have free trade. Well, free trade is not twisted trade. Free trade has to run in both directions. You can't have free trade when you have a pirate running the other side. Okay, it's very nice to let them bring their products into our country with no tariffs, but they ought to do the same for us, and they don't. I happen to be deeply knowledgeable about business. Real business, not the abstract business of talk radio. And if you try to export a product to China, you get slapped with huge tariffs. Everybody in business knows that. Apparently, everybody knows that except people in the radio business who've never done anything in the real world except talk about things. So what I'm saying to you is Trump knows that. He knows it well. 855-407-282. The calls are flowing into the tent, finally. You were not calling before. And I believe that you are excited by this campaign. And not so strangely enough, you are jumping in on the phones at 855-407-2822. Let us take another couple of quick calls here. WMALD from Washington, D.C. comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, you were spot on with those questions. You asked him things that all of us out here want to hear the answers to. And the most important thing that I heard him mention was the forgotten ones, the forgotten Americans. That's us and our children and even our parents. You know, there's just so much ground to cover here, and I hope he does so, and I hope he's bold.
I love what you just said, the forgotten people, but listen to what that guy Kane said about you, the forgotten people. You mean the white people, don't you? You want to be more specific? You mean the hardworking family, the white family, the Christian family, the Jewish family, the white family that is targeted by Hillary Clinton and Kane, who says you have to become a minority in your own country to know what they're suffering? Is that the right thing to say?
Yes, it is. It's the reality of it.
Wait, what is? You mean you should become a minority in your own country?
No, is that the exact opposite? I mean, what Kane said is so wrong. And Trump needs to highlight that, because that's a contrast between being right and wrong. And the left is wrong, and the right is right.
Well, to me, it's a matter of survival. And the fact is everything I have, I worked for from the time I was 5 years old. And I'm not giving it away. I pay over 55% of my income in state and local, in state, federal, and local taxes. How much more do they want me to pay? 150% until I'm living in the gutter? I'm not going to live in the gutter. And I'm telling you, there's a war coming in this country. They're not taking my gun, and they're not taking any more of my money. I've had enough of this crap. And I don't think I'm alone. And I think that Donald Trump represents the last great savior of Western civilization. Let me be very clear. There's a battle for Western civilization going on now. You've got world civilization, you've got Islamic supremacy, and you've got those attacking white people around the globe. And guess who's running the war against Western civilization? It's Western white people at the highest reaches of the progressive movement. I can name every last one of them because there's not too many of them. I think you know the names. These are people who've made their billions and trillions off your back. And what they want to give you back in return is a scorched earth. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. All right, Trump is the issue, and he'll be back with us for part two of the meeting today, of the minds, in the next hour on the Savage Nation. I hope you'll be with us to hear the rest of that incredible interview. He made news. He said things that the media should be reporting. When I said, will you work with Russia to wipe out ISIS? He said, of course I will. But he said more. And when I said that Obama and Hillary have created a new Cold War, he said it's worse than a Cold War. Russia is now rebuilding its military as a result of their provocations. That is news. That's important to hear. That should be all over the media. He knows what's going on. He's clear on it. And so this is not just, oh, it's talk radio, let's dismiss it as unimportant because I don't speak in the heavy Germanic American accent like Henry Kissinger mumbling to myself or like George Soros mumbling to himself. I know what I'm talking about. He knows what he's talking about. We all know what's going on. And I believe he is the last hope we have for saving Western civilization from the deluge. Trust me on that one. You have no idea what's coming if she wins. If she wins, you're going to have not only more of this left-wing war against white, middle-class, productive citizens, it will be something you could never imagine. One man's opinion, of course. Dismiss it at your own risk. But I suggest you read Scorched Earth before you do.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Savage.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Savage States of America.
We could use Russia to help us knock out ISIS, and they want it knocked out. But Russia can be a tremendous help to us in knocking out ISIS and save us a lot by helping us. And that can happen with the proper leadership.
That, of course, is a very important policy statement. And it was stated today on the Savage Nation in the first part of the interview that I conducted this morning with Mr. Trump. He also shared his thoughts on NAFTA and on how to run America like a business, but with a heart. Let's hear tease number two, his thoughts on NAFTA.
NAFTA is a total catastrophe, has been a total catastrophe. I'm going to totally renegotiate it, and if they don't renegotiate, we would end NAFTA in 2 seconds. It's a disaster.
Wow.
It's cleaned out our country. It's taken away a tremendous percentage of our manufacturing jobs.
These are teases. That's all they are. Now, in this hour, very shortly, by the way, I'm going to play the second part of this milestone interview. It's been a long time since Donald was on this show. I hope that changes with the new management. I have a feeling it was Mr. Manafort and those from the Bob Dole side of the Republican Party were keeping him away. I don't think he even knew that he was being kept away from the show, to be honest with you. That's a whole separate story that is worth telling. In fact, at a certain point, I didn't think I'd ever see him on the, hear him on the show again. That was the direction of the campaign. Ask the guys. I wasn't like every day calling. I don't do that because I have a philosophy about my program that's a little unique. I'll survive with or without anyone. It's that simple. This is not an interview-based radio show. This is about me and you. It's a personal relationship. It's gone on for 22 years. It's going to survive one way or the other. You know where I stand on issues. I generally don't mince words. I've been for Trump long before anyone else in the media. He was on the show since 2011. So that would still be there, and I would support him right to the end, whether his campaign had let him on the show again or not. But I didn't think he'd be on again, and I thought so because just the way things were going, you know what I'm saying? In fact, if we play the beginning of the interview, remember I say this is your old friend Michael Savage? Did you catch that in interview part one? Where you said, how is Michael? I thought that was an interesting and very telling comment. I like when we speak in third terms. That would be like by saying, how is Donald? I knew people have spoken. This is an interesting piece of analysis here, is that people who speak about others who they're speaking to in the third person, number one, there's a dissociation here that's important, but it's also very, very interesting to be able to do that and yet be understood by the other party. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying to you. It's very unusual in the media to have someone say to you, how is Michael? Not how are you. Did you catch that? Now, this goes to the bigger questions that people have been asking about things, but I can tell you right now, it doesn't worry me at all. So if you want to comment on the opening interview that we had, the first part of the interview with Donald Trump, and I wrote out the question. You want to hear something funny? Well, not funny, just when they said they'd have him back on again this week on Wednesday, I sent them an email. I'll be very upfront with you, the audience. You're all I care about because it's with you that I survive, and without you, I die. It's that simple. I know where my bread is buttered. It's you. I sent them an email saying, great, you can submit any questions that you wanted me to ask him. You know, they never sent me a question, which I found very interesting. Because how many other candidates would not take the opportunity to not only try to control an interview, but absolutely write the interview? I said to them, send me any questions that Donald Trump would like to answer. Never got an email. So I wrote these out. What are your internal polls showing? Obama's leaving a scorched earth policy in his wake. How do you intend to save the U.S. military in particular? Will you work with Russia to defeat ISIS instead of antagonizing Putin? Last night you spoke to African Americans. How would you help poor blacks in the country? How would you stop the rioting? How do you plan on running the economy as a business? What changes to our income tax system do you think are needed? Do you expect the continued dripping of emails showing Hillary's corruption to eventually hurt her? What do you mean by extreme vetting when it comes to allowing people into America? You have liberals trying to stop TPP and Republicans trying to pass TPP. How can you tell your Republican friends this is not a good agreement? You're going to hear that in the next part of the interview. It's fascinating what he says. It's has getting your message out to the masses become more difficult with CNN and other media outlets spending more time talking about your other remarks and lying about you? When I didn't get to this one, by the way. I said, when would you start a massive ad campaign to counter what the Hillary campaign is doing to you? I didn't ask that. Here I did ask this. The Savage Nation listeners want to know, is that wall still going to be built? Well, you're going to hear his answer right here. There was news that was made. He made news. He didn't just shine me on. He knows that you're important. He knows that you got him where he is. And I believe now that he has moved his last campaign manager to a lesser position and moved in a guy from Breitbart, who's a very good person, by the way. I mean, let's be honest. He moved in a true conservative to run the campaign. I see no problem with that. I think that's a good thing to be what you are, because I think Trump is truly a conservative, as opposed to the naysayers in the media who said, oh, no, he's a liberal, this and that, and whatever. Okay, so let's go to the callers, then back to Donald Trump. I think we'll have a very good hour. Again, for those of you concerned about my dog, Teddy, the mascot of the Savage Nation, let's put it to you this way. He's resting comfortably at the dog handler. Irene was taking care of him since he's a baby. She takes care of him Mondays and Fridays and gives him a hairdo. And now he's with her because he went to the vet again last night at midnight. I was up half the night. I already had the hole dug in the ground. I mean, look, what do you want from me? You know, your mind runs in a lot of directions. It's just like you could see the handwriting on the wall. I mean, he'll be okay for a while, and I know what's going to happen. I know how the living forms go. We're all alive. We know how things go, and he'll be better. Then he won't be better. Then something else will happen, and that's it. It's like an old person. Things break down, and that's the end of it, and you have to move on. I'll tell you this. I'm never getting another dog. That's the end of the road. I had enough already. I can't give myself to another animal and have it go. I had enough. That's it. No more. The last one was bad enough. Then this came along. I mean, it's enough. Now I'm here with the show. I'm looking for him, and he's not here. Now I go out on breaks and talk to him to come out. He's not here. I wish people cared about me as much as I care about the dog. That's the God's honest truth. That's what we really think. You say to yourself, you wonder if your family will miss you as much as you miss your dog. And I don't know, you know, the thing about humans. Then you want me to start drifting now about animals? I went in the New York Post and I saw the most vile video of my life. It's almost worse than ISIS. It's white people hunting bears with bows and arrows and spears. I wanted to kill them. I wanted to put a spear through her head. I saw this woman waiting for a bear around a garbage can, and she sits there with a bow and whispers like she's doing something great and kills the poor thing. Then her piece of garbage husband has a special spear he made, and he kills a bear next to a garbage can and lets it die in agony over a whole night. I wish somebody would... Well, I'm sorry, it's a family show. You know, there is good in the world. The problem is I can't find it. You know, it's pretty mean out there. And that brings me back to this campaign. Do you want third world vampires eating your lunch? Do you want more of the refuse of the world who hate you and your religion and your race to be brought in here? What in the world are you thinking? What in the world are black middle class people thinking that they want people in here who hate them? Do you know how racist many of these immigrants are to black people? Do you have any idea? Do they have any idea what they're playing with Hillary Clinton, who works for the global bankers? Let's be very clear. We know who's running her campaign. And you know, there used to be a statement which was, think globally, act locally. I was in the bathroom this morning taking a shower, and I reversed it in my head. I said, you know, think locally and act globally would make more sense in this time because we've seen how that hasn't worked out for us. Remember the left sold you that lie, think globally, act locally? What do they mean by that? It was a clever little statement put out by the globalist 30 years ago. Think globally, act locally. In other words, you're supposed to give up your sovereignty and turn it over to some idiot in Brussels. How'd that work out for the British, who were told they couldn't fish in their own waters? How's that working out in America when we're getting drug dealers and diseases coming over the border with no border patrol? Is that working out well for you? You want another tattooed neck in your soup? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Now, more of the Savage Nation on Talk Radio 560, KSFO.
Well, it's a business with heart, though, Michael, because it is different than running a business in one sense.
Right.
You have to take
right.
a lot of people that can't take care of themselves. You have to help people.
Right.
And I always say that. It is really a business, and it's certainly a big part of it. But you also have to have really great heart.
I don't actually agree with him. I think we have too big a heart. You know, heart begins at home. Up to a point, sure, you have to help the crippled and the blind and, you know, of your own people. But I don't think there's an obligation for me to carry the world on my back, do you? I mean, that sounds harsh and cruel. How about Leon DiCaprio taking some of them on his yacht? How about Warren Buffet moving a few of them into his house? All of these wonderful do-gooders. I don't see them helping the poor. They talk about it, but they don't actually do it. So, you know, I don't go... All right, let's take some calls. George on KSFO here in San Francisco. George, what's your question or comment, please?
Yes, Michael, thank you. I'm a Ukrainian-American, a Trump supporter, a Michael Savage fan, and when I hang out with liberals, what I hear most often is, and other Ukrainians who support Hillary, what I hear most often is Trump's going to sell Ukraine down the river for the sake of aligning himself with Putin and, you know, battling ISIS and this sort of thing. And I'm not clear on this. I'm not trusting my sources here. I'm wondering if you can shed any light on this.
It's a fabulously important question. First, people have to understand Ukraine was once an independent nation. It has its own language, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And it was engulfed or gobbled up by the Soviet Union and became part of the USSR. Then, when the wall came down and the satellite nations broke apart and went back to their sovereign pasts, Ukraine emerged again as its own sovereign nation. What we see going on now looks to me very much like Putin is about to invade Ukraine and crush the opposition and probably incorporate it into Russia. That's what you're suggesting, isn't it?
That's correct.
Well, I can't comment. The Ukrainian people are wonderful, proud people. And I don't have any opinion on that particular matter. I don't have anything to say that's good or bad about it. But there's a collateral issue that's very important. Trump's campaign manager, who was just dismissed or moved down, his name, Manafort. The headlines by the Associated Press say, Trump insider helped pro-Russia group influence U.S. policy. You saw that, right? That's a huge scandal, correct?
Yes, I did, yes.
Okay. What no one seems to know is that not only did Manafort work for the pro-Russian leader, Yanukovych, do you know who else worked for Yanukovych? Hillary Clinton's good friend, Tony Podesta. Did you know that?
I did not know that. No, I'm going to write...
Yeah, well, that's the subtext that the vermin in the media are not reporting to you. Because the European non-profit that was set up paid the Podesta group... $1.13 million between 2012 and 20 and April 14 to lobby Congress, the White House, National Security Council, the State Department, and other federal agencies. And this is according to U.S. lobbying efforts. So what I'm saying is, again, the media is screaming, oh, Trump, campaign manager, lobbied on behalf of pro-Russia group, but so did Tony Podesta. And Tony Podesta's brother is running Hillary Clinton's campaign. Look it up, Podesta Group, Inc. and Mercury, LLC. So there's more to the story than meets the eyes. Why are they reporting about Manafort working for Yanukovych and not reporting about Podesta? And by the way, take a guess who blew the whistle on the fact that Manafort received money from Ukraine to do this. It was Tony Podesta who released this information. Tony Podesta is the brother of longtime Democratic strategist John Podesta, who is now campaign chairman for Democrat nominee Hillary Clinton. The head of Mercury, Vin Weber, is an influential Republican, former congressman, former special policy advisor to Mitt Romney. And Weber announced earlier this month that he will not support Trump, so they stabbed Trump in the back while not releasing the whole story, which is that both parties have campaign people who were in favor of a nationalist in Ukraine. That's a little bit news, I bet, even to you.
Yes, it is. This is interesting.
Well, I will direct you to an article on this that's such an eye-opener, it's utterly unbelievable that they can get away with this. The Associated Press says, Trump insider helped pro-Russia group influence U.S. policy. And as a result, Trump had to demote his campaign manager. And this was provided to the Associated Press by the Podesta Group. Why didn't they explain that they also received money, as did Manafort? Because then it would have smeared Hillary Clinton. It would have said Hillary Clinton's campaign manager's brother received money for a pro-Russia candidate in Ukraine. Now you know the rest of the story. George, stay on the line. This is what I do for a living. I bet most people didn't know that I actually study these things in great detail. You're going to get a brand new fresh copy of Scorched Earth. You'll probably get it faster than people can buy it in the bookstores. That's the interesting thing, is that when I start to give them away for free a couple of weeks before publication, you can buy them on Amazon, but you're not going to get it until it's actually published. While I think those who will get free copies by winning the recognition of getting on the Savage Nation might even get it first. It's a great book. It's very important. Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama. Do I think it will be a bestseller? Yes. Is that why I wrote it? No. Why did I write it? Because progressive policies and open borders have poisoned America. Because America is fast becoming a third world nation of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos. Because we are only one bad election away from losing our way of life. And I believe, without having to put a caveat on it, only one man stands between us and this disaster. And I will play the second part of that interview when I return, right here on the Anti-Scorched Earth Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Okay, so listen to me carefully. It's so important what we stumbled upon today. Before I play part two of the Trump interview, this should go out wide to the world. Donald Trump demoted his campaign director, Paul Manafort. He moved up someone from Breitbart, who's a good guy. And we hear that it happened for a number of reasons, but it's mainly because Mr. Manafort was smeared that he had helped a pro-Russia group influence U.S. policy in Ukraine. We said, oh, wow, that's terrible. Well, I don't know that it's so terrible unto itself. But if you actually study the entire story, you find out that Tony Podesta, who is Hillary Clinton's campaign manager's brother, who runs the very powerful Podesta Group, also advised the very same Ukraine president. And it was he who leaked Manafort's name to the AP. But AP made Manafort the GOAT. And the media gobbled it up without reading the whole story. My job is to tell you the whole story. And so you got the whole story. And now I want to go to the second part of the interview with Donald Trump, conducted just before the show, right now on the Savage Nation. That'll lead us to the DPP question, which is, I know that you oppose this incredibly idiotic trade pact with the Southeast Asian nations. You have liberals trying to stop TPP, and you have Republicans trying to pass TPP. How come you can't tell the Republican Party this is not a good agreement?
Because certain people, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, politicians, are represented by special interests. They are, you know, totally prone to listening to their lobbyists and their donors and other things. And a lot of these donors are going to make a lot of money with this. They're going to make a lot of money on the other side, even if it's not good for the United States, okay, and for So you have that. You always have that. It's called campaign contributions. You always have that in the back. But what will happen, TPP will be almost as bad as NAFTA, signed by Bill Clinton, by the way. NAFTA is a total catastrophe, has been a total catastrophe. I'm going to totally renegotiate it, and if they don't renegotiate, we would end NAFTA in 2 seconds. It's a disaster.
Wow.
It's cleaned out our country. It's taken away a tremendous percentage of our manufacturing jobs. And by the way,
I remember, Donald, I remember in the mid-90s when it was being talked about, Ross Perot said it would create a giant sucking sound south. He was 100% right. We need to create a giant sucking sound north. And bring those factories and jobs back to America. Everybody knows that. Which brings us to the big question, Donald. Everyone wants to know, is that wall still going to be built?
100%. You need the wall. The wall is going to be built. We're going to have strong borders. We're going to have people come in, but they're going to come in legally. But the wall will be built. We're going to stop the drug trade. The drug trade is an impossibility right now for our country.
Mm.
And you know, the patrol agents all endorse me. 16,500 endorse me. They want... Mm-hmm. But they know what's good for the country. It's easier if they have it the way it is now, where people walk right in front of them and they can't do anything. The Border Patrol gave me an endorsement. You know who else gave me an endorsement, Michaels? Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Oh, I love the guy. He's great.
He is one tough cookie, but he's great. He's a good guy, actually, but he is a great guy.
So is Sheriff Clark up in Milwaukee, I mean, where the riots just happened because of outside agitators. And frankly, I'm sorry, the blame belongs squarely in the White House. Can you imagine the president didn't give a speech that night and say, I'm going to bring the force of the Justice Department down upon you if you don't stop the rioting? Can you imagine that, Donald?
Well, can you imagine when you delete 33,000 emails and you're not prosecuted?
Emails. She needs a carrier, I think. She needs someone to carry around in a carrier. The poor woman seems to be faltering towards the end, Donald, and you're getting stronger. Where do you get your strength from?
Well, I think it's parents. It must be parental. But people have been asking me that question. They say, you know, you have a lot of strength. You need it. We have ISIS. We have trade deals. We have borders. We have militaries and vets we have to take care of. You really need it. You need 100%.
I think it's the meatloaf, Donald. I'm sorry. I think you should do a book.
Mar-a-Lago.
The Donald Trump strength diet. I think it would be a bestseller. Donald, I absolutely got to tell you, your campaign is getting better by the day. The minute you gave that speech the other day, in my opinion, on the ideology test, I know that you were reading a speech which was fabulous. You said you're going to remove those who preach hate viciously, if necessary. You said that Hillary Clinton wants to be America's Angela Merkel, which I frankly been saying for months. The girls, Merkel is a nut. Why would Hillary want to flood America with Syrian Muslims? No one can understand this. Donald, we need you desperately. And the last thing I want to say is everyone I meet, and it's not a lot of people, I don't give public appearances. The only speech I'm going to give is in November at the Radio Hall of Fame when I get the award. I don't go out in the public, but when I do, people come up and they grab my arm and they say, Michael, tell me what's going on. Is Trump going to win? I said, I don't know. I hope so. Donald, can you beat her?
I think so. I think I absolutely can. I think we have the better issues. I think she's a very flawed candidate. I think she has a horrible past. She got away with murder with this email scandal, and it continues onward. I think we're going to win, and you're going to be the happiest man around.
Well, am I going to be using the umbrella at the inauguration? You know, I've got a brand new umbrella waiting for the inauguration.
That's good. You just keep it ready. No, I think we'll have a very interesting. We have 81 days. I think we're going to have an amazing 81 days. We have a big debate coming up. That'll be fun. And hopefully we do well with that. And I think.
Oh, Donald, hold it. There's a landmine. Who is going to be the moderator? The Republicans always let the progressives pick some setup artist. How are you going to control for that?
Negotiating that right now. It's a very important. Look at what Candy Crowley did to Mitt Romney. With that.
Oh, my God. What a snake.
He had to be wrong. And it threw him. I mean, it really threw him. But
Matt, Mr. Romney, when did you stop beating your wife? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it was not a fair situation, I will say. But I think you're going to be very impressed, and our campaign is going. We have the biggest crowds, Michael. You've never seen, like, we'll get 20,000 people to fill up 5,000 seats. It's the whole thing is incredible, and we will, you know the expression, we will make America great again. We will do that.
You know, we have that on our car here in Marin County, the most liberal county in the Bay Area, and we drive around with Make America Great Again on our car. You should see the faces in San Francisco. It's lucky I don't need a bodyguard running aside the car because they'd like to pelt the car and kill us and turn the car over.
Mm.
But we love it, Donald. We're not afraid of them. We want to take America back from them. They've destroyed everything that we love.
We're going to do it. We're going to win. We're going to win.
Donald, when you're out west, would you have one of your wonderful assistants let me know so we could actually talk in person?
I will. I would love that, Michael, and I appreciate it. Your show is just a great show, and I really appreciate it, Michael.
God bless you. God bless America. Let's make America great again with Donald Trump. Thank you so much, Donald. Good luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Mike.
Savage.
Well, the takeaway messages are quite, they're there. The number one message is keep the umbrella ready. Trump says to Savage, keep the umbrella ready. I like that. I think that sort of is nice. That's very personal. But he said a lot of fundamentally important things that the progs will not report. Now, I made news today, not with the Donald Trump interview, but I got to tell you, my disclosure, and I didn't discover this, my disclosure to you that it was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, Mr. Podesta's brother, who runs the Podesta Consulting Group, who also advised the pro-Russia-Ukraine president. And yet all we heard was Trump's campaign manager did this. Does that not show you the lie that's out there, the big lie? It's astounding that it was Podesta himself who leaked this information to the Associated Press. And the AP, instead of saying both sides worked for the pro-Russia president, have the nerve, of course, to just make it look like it was so one-sided when it was not. Meanwhile, in Poughkeepsie, New York, firefighters have been ordered to remove American flags from trucks. Can you believe this story? In an age when we're being overrun, firefighters ordered to remove American flags from trucks, sparking a heated debate. Flags were removed Tuesday from the Arlington Fire District trucks in the town of Poughkeepsie following Monday's order. Who did this? Arlington Fire Commissioner's Board Chairman Jim Beretta. What a name, Jim Beretta. Jim, I hope you have a Beretta. Jim Beretta tells the newspaper the majority of the board saw the flags, the American flag now, as a liability during normal operations for our people and other motorists. What do you mean a liability? Because of the scum in the streets who hate America? Throw them out of the country. Don't take the flags off your trucks. Let the firemen get out and throw them out of the... You're worried about people saying they don't like America and the flags, these deadbeat bums that we're bringing in, or the street garbage being stirred up, and you pull a flag off a fire truck? Let those burly firemen take control of their own trucks and let them also protect their own flags. That's what I would say. I never heard of a country like this. I never heard of anything like this. Look at the garbage that's inveigled their way into everything. The Journal reports that the American flags were recently put up at the request of the union. Fire Chief Tori Galante says he's very disappointed with the order. Good for you, Mr. Galante. Good for you, Mr. Galante. I would like to know who made the firemen take those flags down off their fire trucks. They're a liability during normal operations for our people and other motorists, said Jim Beretta. Who is Jim Beretta? What psycho background does he come from that he would insult both America and the fire department like this? Well, now you know why we need Donald Trump. Okay? WGOW Radio, Suzanne, in Tennessee, line 6. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Savage. I find the title of your book fascinating, Scorch Earth. So I just wanted to ask a simple question. What made you come up with that word, scorch? And then I'll just hang up and get my answer on the air.
No. Stay on the phone. First of all, I'm intrigued by your question. What do you think scorched earth symbolizes to you?
Okay, scorched earth to me means that, like, the earth is going to, like, just become nothing. Like, just be burnt up or consumed. That's what comes to my mind when I hear scorch. But I know, but when I look it up in the dictionary, it says it's something very superficial, lightly burned, just on the surface. But how I...
Let me explain the origin of my book, Scorched Earth. By the way, are you of African origins?
Excuse, I didn't hear your question.
Are you of African origins? I'm just curious.
African and Indian. From India. Not American
beautiful.
Indian, but
no,
Indian.
No, I hear you. I love accents. I try to test my knowledge of accents, and I was right. So if you look back in history, when armies retreated, they usually left a scorched earth policy. They had some of them practiced a scorched earth policy where they would leave nothing for the next group of leaders that were going to take over their country or the country they were leaving. Let me give an example. Germany invaded the Soviet Union. They got beaten very badly. And as the Germans were leaving the Soviet Union, instead of leaving the farms and the livestock, the evil Germans burned the farms to the ground, burned the crops, and killed the livestock because they didn't want the Russians to have their own food supply in their own country. That's what is done by bad people. Obama is practicing a type of political scorched earth policy against every institution in the United States of America. And I can give you one example after another, as I do, in this, my most important book, Scorched Earth. You say it's just hyperbole, he's not doing it. Well, my friends, if you actually study the details, you might agree with me. And I'll give you a quick synopsis, because I have 30 seconds to do it. Our Scorched Earth, Life Under Trump, Death Under Clinton. Hillary Clinton, Crime and No Punishment, Chapter 2. Our Challenges, It Is Happening Here Already. The Decay of American Culture. Is the USA Now Like the USSR? Chapter 3, Our Internal Enemies, Obama is Invading His Own Nation. The Most Dangerous Subversive Organizations in the United States, and I name them. Hollywood Fought Fascism, Now It Must Fight Islamofascism. How to Identify Pseudo-Conservative Bullies. Corruption Festers in Both Parties. Diversity is Destroying Democracy. Competition is Healthy. The Story of My Aloe Plant, Surrounded by Tomatoes. When I come back, I will read you the chapter heads of my blockbuster bestseller out in 2 weeks, Scorched Earth, right here. And by the way, if you have comments on the Trump interview, we have one open line. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
Well, it's a business with heart, though, Michael, because it is different than running a business in one sense.
Right.
You have to take
right.
care of a lot of people that can't take care of themselves. You have to help people.
Right.
And I always say that. It is really a business, and it's certainly a big part of it. But you also have to have really great heart.
Yep. So who do you think has a greater heart, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton? You know, that's an interesting question. She seems to be heartless to me. She's ruthless and she's heartless. Well, you could say the same about him. He's a ruthless businessman, according to people who say he sues everybody. So I don't know that the issue is what their heart is like, because I don't think we can know the temperament of anyone's heart, the true temperament of anyone's heart, especially at that level. Are you going to argue that Obama, who smiles a lot, is actually a nice person? Who was a nice guy who became president? Who was a nice person who could ever put up with what it takes to get there? So I don't care about whether they're a nice guy in their heart. What I care about personally are their policies. And I do know this. I know it as clear as I know the fact that I'm on the radio right now. I know this, my friends. A welcome revolution has come to America. That's one of the themes of this show and this book. Most people are afraid to acknowledge it, afraid to go against the liberals in the mainstream media. As I said many times before, Donald Trump represents America's best hope, maybe our only hope. The Democratic Party represents the New World Socialist Revolution. If you disagree, study the history of communism and see how the first step is always to bring about socialism, which eventually will become communism. Read Scorched Earth before you vote. I'll be back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
New umbrella ready. That was Donald Trump's words to me today during this sparkling interview. Keep the new umbrella ready, which I will be doing. I will keep it wrapped up in its wrapper, ready for the inauguration. And in this hour on the Savage Nation, I will give you some of the other news that has caught my eye and take your calls. I got great callers. Here in the Bay Area, this is very telling of what's going on in the tech industry. Cisco laying off 5,500 employees, or 7% of its workforce. That's an enormous story. Cisco Systems, which is one of the giants, today just announced today, based in San Jose, it will lay off 5,500 employees as it scrambles to adapt to technology changes that have reduced demand for its main product. That means about 7% of Cisco's roughly 78,000 workers will lose their jobs beginning this summer. Now, I don't know whether this is true or whether they're going to fire American workers who are making a good salary and keep the Indian workers that they brought in at half the rate. You know, this could just be a game that some of these wonderful corporate leaders play in order to, improve the bottom line. And so that's the problem. If you're in business, you have to improve the bottom line. However, at a certain point, Mark Zuckerberg, you owe something to the people who made you what you are, Mark. I know you didn't learn that at home. I know you didn't learn that at Harvard. I know you didn't learn that in your tradition, but you do have to take care of the people who gave you your fortune. And you know, Mark, I know you didn't learn this at home. I know you didn't learn this at Harvard. And I know you didn't learn this anywhere else. But the nation that gave you your education and your fortune, you owe them something. And you really should not be bringing in cheap H-1B laborers to replace American workers, Marky boy. That's just bad form. Anyway, my friends, if you care to call, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's see what else is in the newspaper that caught my attention that I haven't mentioned yet. Here it is. Harvey Milk saluted at Navy ship naming ceremony. Now, you talk about the destruction of the morale of the U.S. military under Barry Obama. I'm going to ask you something. Do you think it's appropriate to name a naval ship for a gay activist? How does that help the morale of the Navy? What message does that send to the Navy that it needs, wait a minute, that it needs to fight ISIS and other really bad people? Does that help them in their morale? Does that weaken the morale of people who enlist in the Navy? How does it strengthen the Navy to do a thing like this? Harvey Milk saluted at Navy ship naming ceremony. Going to have a lot of young enlisted men standing on his main deck. Oh, how cute. The slain San Francisco supervisor and gay rights icon was accorded one of the Navy's highest honors Tuesday when the so-called Secretary of the Navy, yeah, that unto itself is an oxymoron, and a legion of gold-braided Navy brass gathered in San Francisco to declare that the Navy's newest ship will be named Harvey Milk's honor. Let me stop right there and ask you again if you think we can ever recover from the scorched earth policies of Barack Obama. Make no mistake about it, a fish rots from the head down. WMAL, Gary, line four, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to confirm your premise for scorched earth. It's an easy test you can do. Just go through the list, the names of the federal departments and agencies, look at their names, and realize that under Obama, they all do the exact opposite of what their name is and what they were set up to do.
I love that. In other words, okay, so let's reverse the Health and Human Services Agency. What does it actually do? It brings in diseased immigrants. Is that improving the health of the United States of America? No. Is it providing human services to American taxpayers? No. It's providing help to those who are diseased who they're bringing in. Great, I see what you mean.
Yeah, every department.
Okay, so the Environmental Protection Agency, what does it actually do?
It prevents Americans from developing the best and cleanest use of their land. You can't put a pond in if you got a big farm somewhere. How does that
Very good. Okay, so let's look at the Department of Defense. What does it actually do? Does it defend America?
Sadly, I won't speak for the individual soldiers who I know are very dedicated. But as an organization, no, that is not their mission anymore.
No, that's not their mission. Their mission is social engineering. And we can go down the list. Department of the Interior has become the Department of the Posterior in terms of thinking, et cetera, and so on. You're a genius, Gary. I'm sending you a copy of Scorched Earth. Stay on the line. I want to hear some music. I got to hear a little music right now. I'm thinking about my dog. I'm going to visit him. Not right after the show, but after the show, I got another conference call with like 17 people about the book promotion. They want to get me in all the major television shows. And I don't know how to break the news to them, but I'm not flying across the country to be on a television show. I'm just not doing it. I'm not losing my show for 2 days. I can't to do that, number one. And number two, have they not heard of anything called Skype? I'll do interviews by Skype. I can handle that. I like that. Skype is good. Skype works very well. I've done a few of them, and they've worked out. I've been on Alex Jones by Skype. And a few other shows. Newsmax TV I've done by Skype. It works out well. All right, so I'll get better makeup this time and better lighting in the home studio. But yeah, that brings me to the next thing, which is come January, this is like an oy vey moment when I'm on camera for 3 hours a day, and I'm such a private guy. How am I going to handle that? I mean, I'm going to get a makeup woman here. I'm going to change my outfits to look like a TV star. That's not me. I'm going to have to just wear what I wear, which I don't think you're going to like very much, because it varies from day to day. It could be a Hawaiian shirt. It could be a sweatshirt. It's not an undershirt. I'm not down to that level yet. Will I eat on air? No. During the breaks, it's going to go to something else. You're not going to see me eating lunch. But no, we're going to have a lot of backroom stuff. I hope Teddy's still with us come January, because he is the mascot of the Savage Nation. I really do. I don't want that happening. I don't want it happening. He's only 12. Some of them live to 25. I realize what's done it to him. If it's since a neck thing, he jumps off beds, and I've tried to stop him now for almost a year. You know, they don't know they're older. It's like an old man who's still running across the Golden Gate Bridge till he has a coronary and dies on the bridge. And no matter what the wife says to him, the guy keeps running. It's the same with dogs. So he jumps off couches, jumps off chairs, and I try to stop him before he does. I say, no, Teddy, you're going to hurt yourself. 2 out of 3 times he listens in the morning. But later in the day he doesn't. So I put a big pillow underneath his chair, and he jumps on it. That's good. But I realize what's happening is, of course, the front paws are hitting. It's causing compression on his spine. It's hurting his neck. So that's probably the genesis of his pain. How am I going to talk to him about this? He doesn't understand this kind of thing. He's drowsing now on medication up in the dog care place. I'm going to go see him at 5. I don't know whether to take him home tonight. It was really lonely without him last night. I got to tell you, those of you who lost animals, when they're with you and then they're not with you, it's like a freak show. It's like you reach over and they're there. What are you going to do? So here we are. That's all. Keep the umbrella dry. Keep the, what do you say? Keep the new umbrella ready. I like the Donald interview. It was a long time in coming. I can't say that I was not disappointed that he didn't come on before that. But I'm hoping that with the new regime in his campaign, he will come to understand that not only I, but you, the audience, who made him what he is and got him where he is, are the most important people that he has to keep talking to. Because you will spread the enthusiasm, whether you're new voters or not. See, let's say he owns this audience. Let's put it to you that way. So the miscalculation by the previous regime with Trump, and they make it all the time. They're the ones who ran all of the regular Republican campaigns, and they made the same mistake over and over. Oh, they got nowhere else to go. They'll vote for you. That's not true. If you start neglecting them, they will not vote for you. They will just lose interest in you, or they'll get angry at you, and they won't vote for you at all. You have to keep the people who got you where you are satisfied. You know, I hate to put it into terms of a romantic involvement, but it's very similar to a romantic involvement, in my estimation, which is if you start to neglect a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and no matter how many times they call you and you don't answer them, or you don't want to be with them, they're going to stop calling. You don't own them. No matter how much love they may have expressed for you, they may just lose interest in you and find someone else to love. And it's the same in politics. Make no mistake about it. Politics is an extension of show business, I'm sorry to tell you. And show business is an art of lovemaking to the audience. It's well known. There's no question about that. Well, at least I shall say, and the art of making the audience respond to you. It doesn't have to be through love. It could be through something else. All of the primary emotions of humanity are often provoked in show business, whether it be love or hate or anger or envy or whatever the cardinal so-called sins are. Show business works those emotions, and if they don't touch your emotions, it's a bad show. Am I right? It's exactly right. Same with talk radio. You can just put out hatred all day long, and you get one audience only, the haters. You could put out pathos, and you'll get people who understand pathos, etc. So I don't have to, you know, list it for all of you. There are seven, I don't know what the emotions really are, whatever. But the thing is that Donald needs to be with you a lot more. I don't want you to lose interest in him. And I don't have to, again, give you the caveat, as flawed as he is, blah, blah, blah. That's irrelevant. We're way past that. It's a fight for the soul of Western civilization, not just America. And the very same evildoers who spit at the Brits, who exited the European Union, who said that they're a bunch of rubes, those in London didn't vote to leave. Well, great. So look what they did in London. They elected a Muslim mayor who has instituted a form of fascism, thought police, just this week. He's investing an entire new division of the London Metropolitan Police to investigate online hate crimes. Now, what does that mean? Anyone who says anything about his dear religion will be arrested and prosecuted by this piece of garbage. That's what you want here in America? Are fascists who are under the guise of being third world geniuses? Don't you just love how people from the third world are held up as some models of civility when the exact opposite is often the truth? What do you think they came here for? Was to get away from their hell holes. What did they come here from all those countries for? Why are they fleeing those garbage cans that they came from? What, to impose their same filth on us? Don't get me started. I think you get the picture. And that is why it's Trump do or die. Back in a minute. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Savage Nation. I'm so thrilled to be on the air. I'm exhausted. I was up half the night with the dog. I'm a little delirious, but I'd rather keep working right to the last second. I got to be honest with you. And it reminds me, may God rest her soul, my mother. She raised me with such a strong work ethic. The days I didn't want to go to school, you know, I hated getting up in that cold bed, Queens, New York. It was like minus whatever in the winter. The ice was on the storm windows. I didn't want to go to school. I hated school. And she'd say, I said, Mom, I just want to sleep. She says, you'll have plenty of time to sleep when you're dead. You're dead. Now get out of bed. She didn't control me. She embarrassed me. No, I don't know what she did. It was pretty smart. And when I was younger and I was afraid of dying, you know, stuff like, Mommy, what's death? What's death like? She says, well, I don't know, but no one's ever come back to complain. Now get dressed and go to school. You know, sometimes you can answer in a kind of paralogical manner. That's why I sometimes eschew my own traditions and put down the Bible, and I read the teaching of Buddha, where they teach about the middle way and to stay in the middle. And they write about the noble path that transcends these two extremes and leads to enlightenment, wisdom, and peace of mind. And they call that the middle way. And what is the middle way? And they say it consists of the eightfold noble path: right view, right thought, right speech, right behavior, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. That's beautiful. Of course, they don't believe in reality. They say that there's no such thing as existence or non-existence. They say that wise men see beyond both existence and non-existence, something that transcends them both, and that's what they call the middle way. I don't get that part of it. To me, there is reality, and there is either existence or non-existence, but some of the philosophy I understand. And it reminds me of the famous story of the theory of relativity and Albert Einstein, the great physicist. A man got to have an audience with Einstein when he already became famous. And he comes into his office, at this point probably he was already famous while he was in Europe. And he says, Herr Einstein, I've come to realize by reading your theory of relativity that there is no reality. Whereupon, as the story goes, Einstein comes out from behind his chair and slaps the man in the face and says, is this reality? See, sometimes reality slaps you in the face to remind you that there's reality. So be careful when you play with reality, because God is really seeing what you're doing. I'm one of these people who have almost a childish view of my life, and I don't always, you know, live up to it. But I got to tell you, I always think that someone's watching me. I know that's sort of a paranoid delusion to psychiatrists who would put me on medication for believing in God. But I think they belong on medication for not believing in God and thinking that they're God. Moreover, that they think that medication is God. I walk around, and a good portion of the time, I actually feel that either God is watching my acts or my ancestors are watching my acts. And I'm not alone in this. And sometimes I'm embarrassed by what I'm doing. I say, okay, can I go behind a curtain? Whatever. Leave me alone for a minute. But there's no curtains for God. As a holy man once said to me when I showed him my journals, I had journals going back many years, thousands of pages of my every deed, so to speak. And I said to this religious man, a mystic actually, the real McCoy, not the other type. He said something about, what are you going to do when you meet God? I said, I write all these journals to show to God. And he looked at me with a wise smile and he said, God wants to know what you didn't put in the journals. So, you see what I'm saying? There's always an answer. People are so smart. I mean, you realize how smart people are out there? And they're ordinary looking people. They have such wisdom and such insight, most people who can get through life and not kill themselves or kill someone else. They're geniuses, given the emotions of the times. I'm surprised there isn't more mayhem in this country. All right, I'll be back in a minute. I'm coming back with a third wind. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Yeah, keep the new umbrella ready. Keep the new umbrella ready, said Donald Trump. And by the way, a new article just came out by Art Moore of WorldNet Daily on the Trump interview. It's a great one. And it's a WorldNet Daily story. They're my partners on the website. Trump the Savage, Obama Hillary causing new Cold War. I think it's a good article. It'll be on my website. I'll get it up on Facebook. Maybe it'll be linked somewhere. You never know. Who knows what's going to be. Now, here's a story that you're going to just love. Where is the story? I got to find it. It's so ridiculous. It's only in America under the scorched earth president. How did I lose this? Oh, here, Fed's promoting lesbian farmers. I said, is this a joke? What has a lesbian farmer got to do with anything? Why would they fund that? Free Beacon, Elizabeth Harrington. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is holding summits to promote the role of lesbian farmers as a part of its rural pride campaign. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I almost don't know what to ask of you. Why would a Department of Agriculture waste money on a thing like this? Answer, because it's run by people like that who have distorted everything. You know, there's a saying, the eye that alters, alters all. William Blake wrote that. When your mind is warped and you think only about your sexuality, what you do is you project your sexual issues into everything that you touch. What does it have to do with agriculture? Nothing. If you're a lesbian and you're growing corn, God bless you, grow corn with your girlfriend. You're a lesbian growing soybeans, God bless you, grow soybeans. What do I care about what your issues are? What does it have to do with the government? But wait, it gets even better under crazy Obama. You talk about batty Obama. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is holding summits to promote the role of lesbian farmers. The agency is working with singer and LGBT activist Cindy Lauper for a day of conversation. Oh, here we go again. When I hear the word conversation, I reach for my harmonica about the struggles of gay and transgender individuals in rural America. The agency says it wants to change the perception of what it means to be a farmer in America away from the, quote, white rich male. Go screw yourself. It's the white rich male who made America, you moron, you. Stop it already with the attack on the rich white male. I am sick of it. The Office of the Assistant Secretary of Civil Rights, in collaboration with the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and the True Colors Fund. In other words, federal money going into their hands. Will engage with LGBT rural communities to host the LGBT Rural Summit Series, the USDA said. Policies, programs, services that exist to protect, promote, and strengthen LGBT rural communities. The all-day summit will teach lesbian and transgender hillbillies. Sorry, that tickles me. What? A transgender hillbilly? How to get subsidies from the government. Here we go again. Like rural housing loans and community facility grants. Bullying will also be discussed. Well, I feel like they're bullying me, by the way. As a rich white male, I'm sick of being bullied by this community. How's that? Stop bullying me. Stop attacking me. How's that? I need help. I want to get a subsidy from the government to get a housing loan and a community facility grant. A transgender hillbilly. How to get some... How could you be... I don't even understand that one. A transgender hillbilly? It almost sounds... I mean, I would go to a show. If there was a show with transgender hillbillies, I would go to that one. I mean, that would be fun. Like a hoedown with transgender hillbillies. I'd pay to hear that orchestra. Maybe the intelligent geniuses in the Obama administration can now put out special grants for, let's say, transgender hitmen. And they can do a summit to teach lesbian and transgender hitmen or assassins how to get subsidies from the government on housing loans and community facility grants. Because, after all, they may be discriminated against by non-LGBT people in the assassination community. I mean, don't assume that there can't be some in the assassin world. And they may need government help and guidance because they could feel that they're being bullied by the, let's say, straight assassins. No, you talk about total insanity. Feds holding summits for lesbian farmers, they got nothing better to do? Can these morons figure out how to grow a piece of corn? No. Can these psychopaths grow a soybean? No. Could they raise a tobacco leaf? No. Could they raise a pig? No. Could they raise a cow? No. They know nothing. They're a bunch of morons. They came out of the worst colleges in America, and they're poisoning every agency of the country. I'm sick of it. That's why I'm talking about a scorched earth policy, by the way. That's what I mean by it. Obama has practiced a scorched earth policy in every avenue of this government. It has to be purged and cleansed and put back to its sanity, sanity, sanity. Department of Agriculture, focus on agriculture. What are you pushing a social agenda and social engineering into an area that has nothing at all to do with it? What are you implying, that a transgender farmer is laughed at by who? Who's laughing at them if they're raising a crop? Nobody. They're on a farm with their friends. What kind of stupidity is this? It's the same in the military. They've deballed, they've debased, they've destroyed the United States military at every level. He put in this moron in the White House, and his minions of psychos put in a woman to run the Air Force who never flew a jet. She's in charge of our combat men. Put another one in who never drove a 30-foot rowboat with a motor to run the U.S. Navy. I never saw anything like this. If you wanted to destroy a United States military, you couldn't do it faster or better than this man has done. And that's why now you understand what is a scorched earth. There's your scorched earth. When you see a story like this, you understand how far and wide the insanity has reached. The cancer, the poison, the toxins are in every avenue of government. They need to be cleansed by Donald Trump. And if you say Hillary will do it, she'll make it much worse. She'll make it much worse until no one can fly a jet anymore in combat. Until our Navy ships have to be grounded because no one knows how to run them. Because they've spent all of their precious resources on such stupidity as this. No one will be able to grow a piece of corn if these psychos keep it up. I don't know, maybe I should read more Buddhism and practice the middle way. Because I've tried for 22 years. I'm not getting anywhere. A man is foolish to desire privileges, promotion, profits, or honor. For such desires can never bring happiness, but will bring suffering instead. I used to read garbage like this when I was poor and couldn't get anywhere. Since a lot of people who unfortunately have been unfortunate in life read Buddhism. And they say, see, I'm doing this the right thing. They sit in the cafe in San Francisco. They drink one cup of coffee a week. I love the people who go to cafes and bring their own coffee in a container and don't even buy a coffee. I love the people who go to Barnes & Noble or other bookstores and don't buy a book. You ever see them? They ruin the magazines. I feel like slapping their hands. I go in there to buy a magazine, and you see they're thumbed to death, and you see the old, they're usually these old, cheap, white progressives. They sit with a stack of magazines like they're in a library, thumbing through it, crumbs dripping into a car magazine. I feel like saying, why don't you buy a damn magazine, you cheap piece of... I don't say anything. I have to go back three magazines into the rack to get one that isn't filthy, with like crumb cake in the magazine. A bunch of creeps. How do they come off to do a thing like that? And the bookstores, they don't dare say a word to them. Like, sorry, this is not a library. I used to say, reading time 5 minutes. Or don't thumb it with your filthy hands, bum. Something. They don't buy anything. They come in. I love the ones who come in with the water bottle. And nothing else. They got the magazines. It's a library for them. They sit. 20 magazines, books. And they leave them on the desk. You can't sell them again. Why do the bookstores put up with this? How did this evolve? They drove Borders Books out of business by doing that. What, they're going to now drive the few chains that remain out of business with this stupid, selfish, progressive behavior that you owe it to me because I'm poor and you're rich? You're a rich corporation. Rich corporation, rip them off. You can't rob it, read them. Thumb the magazines. Ech. San Francisco's filled with this kind of loser. Harvey Milk saluted at Navy ship naming ceremony. Great. Great. A real war hero. A war. Instead of picking someone in the Navy who gave his life for the country, name it for Harvey Milk, because he did nothing. What did he do for the Navy or America's military morale? Nothing. Again, the social engineers. There we go. Back to that again. Does anyone know the name of one naval hero? Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. The Navy, the guys who gave up to the Iranians and cried. Maybe they can name ships for them. We come up with a name for that one. You know, how about that? How about through the Navy? They committed, these guys committed a violation of U.S. Naval Code of Honor. Do you know that? By giving up without firing a shot and giving up codes? As far as I'm concerned, they'd be thrown in prison for what they did. Instead, Obama brought them to the White House, held them up as war heroes. Maybe they can name some Navy ships for them. Maybe that's what Obama should do. Give out the names of those who gave up on the ships to Iran. That's all. So you get me started. Okay, calls. Ann, WDRC, line one, go ahead, please.
Hi. Just touching base, I've been listening to you on my way home from work, and I just love how you tell it like it is. It's very refreshing to hear. And your commentary about God watching you just touched my heart, because God is not watching us. He lives through us and experiences everything we do. So be encouraged and, you know, keep telling it like it is. And
what, you mean if I overeat and I get a stomach ache, he feels it?
Yep.
So why did he let me eat too much spaghetti last night?
Because you didn't listen to him.
No, it's an interesting theory. In other words, if you believe that, then you start to say, okay, I'll do the right thing for God. That's what you're saying.
Well,
I won't do this. I won't do this because I'll be hurting God, meaning I'll hurt myself. It's an interesting way to teach the presence of God to a child. And at a certain point, we're all children. We're all God's children in that regard. I truly believe that. That's beautiful. I like that. That's nice. Maybe I'll think about that. You know, sometimes you get a call or it sounds simple, and yet it has like a boomerang effect on your head. Like the next time I go to do something bad, I'll say, God don't want you to do that one. Why? Well, because he's going to feel it, honey. I don't care. He's big enough. He's a big guy. He runs the whole thing. What's the big deal if I... No, sorry, you can't do that. Why? Because you're going to hurt God. It's not a bad way to teach a child to be good. To be good for goodness sake. At a certain point, don't you think we're all childlike? Wouldn't it be great if we were? Wouldn't it be wonderful if George Soros actually had a piece of God left in him? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Barack Obama actually believed that there was a God who was bigger than him? Wouldn't it be great if there was a God who looked down and Hillary Clinton could see him and feel him on her and say, honey, you're doing the wrong thing. You really ought to drop out because nobody loves you and they all fear you and you don't need the money and you don't need the power. It's time to quit. Let someone else take the job. They really care about America. Yeah, well, sometimes I believe maybe, just maybe. And that's the childlike portion of me that still exists. The same one that can play with a dog. Or throw bread to the seagulls in San Francisco Bay and watch them fight over a scrap of bread. I love throwing used bread to the seagulls near my house because I've watched the bird behavior for so many years, I know what it's like. If I throw three bagels, old bagels, in the water, and two birds come swooping down on those three bagels, they'll fight over one bagel, do you know that? And they'll let the other two bagels float away? What does that tell you about the nature of animals and about man himself? They will fight over something rather than, they're not fighting over eating that bagel. They're fighting over dominance. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, this goes to the core of everything we talk about on the show on a daily basis. It's about dominance. So when you see a story, Feds holding summits for lesbian farmers, and then you read through it, and you go all the way down, and then you see it's an attack on white males. That's all it is, an attack on white males. What in the heck does that have to do with farming? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. To promote and strengthen LGBT rural communities, blah, blah, blah. Bullying will be discussed, blah, 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 blah. And to basically put down, it says, what it means to be a farmer in America away from the white, rich male. Again, the same lie. Again, the hatred. The hatred from these people is so deep. They're so mentally deranged in this administration. What does it matter who grows your food, you fool you? You stupid, evil, bigoted idiot. The rich white male, do you know what it's like to grow food? Have any of you fools from Harvard ever grown anything? Do you know how difficult it is to grow anything? And you're putting down the farmers because they're not your race or your sexual orientation, you sickos, you? Okay, I've said it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Is the Savage Nation, Mexico president, I will meet with Trump. Really? Oh, he's changed his tune. I guess he sees which way the wind is blowing. I guess a sombrero is flapping in the wind to the right rather than to the left. This is the top of Drudge now. Oh, they hated Trump last week. Now they see which way it's going, that he just might win. He's willing to meet with Trump. Isn't that nice of you? Enrique Peña Nieto. Nice, nice, nice. Pre-taped interview on Tuesday night. Good for him. He's a diplomat. Trump has sparked outrage in Mexico with his campaign vow to build a wall along the southern U.S. border to keep out illegal immigrants and drugs and to make Mexico pay for it. I think it's a great idea. And it's a smart man in Mexico to do this. Young man, smart guy. Mexico president, I will meet with Trump. Very nice. Very, very nice. All right, my friends, this is the Savage Nation. There's only a minute left. I can't believe this day has gone by so quickly. What a day it has been for me. The Trump interview, the conference calls, the Trump interview, the show, another conference call. Then I got to go see my sick doggy. I don't know whether to leave him there for the night or take him home. If I take him home, then I'll complain that he can't jump. And this, look, it's a mess. Pillows for Hillary. Well, maybe pillows for Teddy. Maybe I can get pillows for Teddy to prop him up. Maybe I can get a sling on the bed. Who knows? It's no joke. Oh, God. Don't they have old age homes for dogs? I wouldn't put him in one. Because if he could talk, he would say, I don't want to go there. It stinks. I don't want to be around those other dogs that were sick. I want to be around healthy dogs. My mother, God rest her soul, she complained so bitterly about that. Oh, in Florida. She said, I don't like the old people. This is what the old people always say about the other old people. I don't like being around old people. Isn't that funny? No one likes to be around anybody, I found out. They always want, I don't understand that. Nobody likes to be around anybody. But if you analyze that, think about the alternative. That is, you're alone on a planet somewhere in heaven, and there's no one else. Think about that nightmare. This is the Savage Nation trying to fight Obama's scorched earth policies. Be here every day because God wants you to.